Welcome to True Story, the Public Relations Podcast, a space where we get a peek behind the scenes of brands and businesses that have a real story to tell. Because in today's world, we are done with perfect and fake. We want to support brands that aren't afraid to show their true colors. I'm your host, Whitney Lee, the founder of True Story PR, an agency focused on helping businesses show up authentically through their social media, PR, and more. We pride ourselves on always keeping it real. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I'm really excited about today's interview. I think it's going to be a big hit. I know a lot of people out there listening, you might own your own agency, or maybe you're a micro agency or a freelancer trying to grow an agency. So today's interview is totally going to speak to you. I'm excited to introduce you guys to Armando Leduc. He's with Leduc Entertainment. Armando, welcome to the show.
Howdy. Thank you for having me.
Of course, podcast.
Love it.
Yes. And you have your own, right?
I do. It's called Spaghetti on the Wall.
Spaghetti on the Wall.
So we're about to hit 100.
Yep. So freaking accurate for the world of marketing because folks are throwing spaghetti on the wall. Well, okay. So tell us a little bit about you first. And then I know we've got some juicy stuff we're going to dive into.
So there's a lot to unpack. I'm a singer, actor. I own my own dance studio at one time back in 2001. So entrepreneurship has always been something that I was drawn to. Moved to New Orleans to pursue my acting career in film specifically because there was a lot of tax credits at the time in 2005. And so I've done, you know, over 60 television and film projects from Prison Break to Green Lantern, Queen Sugar. Was sort of doing in front of the camera stuff and loved everything about it. Learned what it was like to do behind the camera stuff with like the 48 hour film project and doing sketch comedy and music videos and things like that. And in 2016, I rebranded from Sketchy Characters Productions to Leduc Entertainment. Cause I didn't think people professionals were going to write checks to Sketchy Characters. And so Sketchy Characters still exists for like my fun parodies and movies and things like that. But I wanted to do, you know, the professional side. So Leduc Entertainment started in 2016, doing everything from commercials to music videos, everything that had to do with videography, but we were doing one-offs. And then 3 years ago, a friend of mine who I went to high school with, named Lewis Scott, has a personal injury firm in Atlanta that's extremely successful, right? $45 million law firm. And during COVID, he started a company called Eight Figure Firm to teach other attorneys how to scale their businesses to not seven figures, but eight figures. And he was like, "Hey, Armando, why don't you come out and shoot content for me?" And at the time, I didn't really understand what he meant by that because I was always used to shooting one commercial. And he's like, "No, I want you to shoot like 20, 40 pieces of content in one day." And so I was like, okay, not knowing. I was just like, "Can you do it?" Of course I can. Learned a lot, right? Started working with him and doing all of his content. I saw his company go from startup, the eight-figure firm concept, from startup to like $7 million within like a three-year time. And this is a consultation company.
Wow.
You know, he's gonna scale his personal injury law firm to nine figures within the next 5 years. Easy. I mean, his name is on the outside of a skyscraper in right there in Buckhead. And so he was like, "Armando, you have a seven figure business." And I was like, what are you saying, man? You know, and this is a guy that I went to high school with, you know, so, familiarity breeds contempt sort of deal. And he was like, "Look, Armando, I can give you this information for free. But if you pay for it, you'll absorb it. You'll have investment in it." And I was like, "Okay, what are you talking?" He's like, $2,500 a month. And I was like, at the time I was making $69,000 a year, right? Oh, like that was the top amount that we ever brought in. "What are you saying?" And I was struggling, you know, obviously COVID hit. I was struggling even before COVID hit, you know, it's like making $69,000 a year is nothing. You know, I had a baby on the way and I was like, "All right, I'm going all in, you know, obviously you're doing well. I'm going to see what you are doing and I'm going to try to implement." And one of the big things he said is, you know, the the speed of growth in your business is tied to speed of implementation. And I was like, so if I can implement, the faster I implement, the more money I can make. And he's like, absolutely. And so I just started doing everything that he said. And in the first, actually the first month we started working together, I made $30,000 in 1 month of working with him. Right.
That's half of your income in a whole year.
It was crazy. Well, and the thing that switched mainly was the mindset, like the mindset shift. And he, and the thing was, like, once I had the mindset shift, I was like, holy shit, this is something. I'm sorry.
No, you can speak freely here. Safe space.
I also have a 4-year-old, so I always have to watch how I talk, but it was the unlocking of the mindset. It was the unlocking of the mind that was like, holy crap. I wasn't even viewing things from this perspective. I was always here. Right. And he told me, he's like, you know, read as much as possible. So, you know, I started reading like a book a week, like 52 and 52 is his challenge. And so I was just downing books and I was learning from him and I was implementing, and we hit $500,000 in a year, like 69,000 to $500,000 in a year's time. And I was like, okay, obviously this works. Right. And the catalyst for all of that was content marketing. And I had read a book called They Ask You Answer, written by, I'm not sure who right now, but they also wrote the visual sale. And it was all about how to take video and use that as pre-marketing and pre-selling tools, so that when you get to the selling table, all of the credibility and trust was already established. So that wasn't even a thing, right? It was just, how are we finding out what the pain points are? If they understand that you can solve those pain points, well, then you guys are in business. And so that was like a big catalyst. We're like, all right, Armando, if we're trying to tell people that they need to do content marketing and we're not doing it, how can we preach that it works? And we started doing it, and we started putting a video out every day, and the company just boom. Just skyrocketed. Right. And then I started seeing, it worked for my business. It was working for all of my clients that I started bringing in, you know, and it was just like a faucet that just kept on going. One, you know, the side effects of creating videos on a monthly basis is that, one, you're going to get better at the story, right? Mm-hmm. Two, you're going to get better at being on camera. Three, you know, you're now getting the analytics of what's working rather than what's not. And then you can see which videos you can boost instead of creating a commercial, thinking about what you think people are going to resonate with. You're going to put out content on the regular, and that volume of content will tell you what people like. And then that's what you boost. You
know, my gosh, a really quick question with your agency. What do you actually do? You guys build content plans for them and they execute, or do you actually like help them create the content? You guys are editing and that kind of thing.
So, we do it all right from beginning to end. It's a 5-step process that I created called Your Business is a Movie. And basically we're just taking the filmmaking concept from, you know, from Hollywood and infusing it into business, which is development is the first step. Development is what your vision, mission, core values is, who your target market is, what are your revenue streams, what are you trying to get out there, right? And then those become what we call the content pillars, right? So if you're in personal injury, obviously we're talking about, you know, personal injury stuff, Q&A. But what are the other things about you that people are following, right? Are you into fashion? Are you into food? Are you into travel? Are you into crypto? Are you into this, right? So we know we're going to talk about legal. That's just one of your content pillars, and that's fine. But what are the two and three things that we're going to talk about that rounds you out and makes you, you know, a human, right? How are we resonating with this person rather than just looking at them as a family law attorney, right? What else? Oh, you're into fashion? Great. Well, let's talk about fashion. You're into, you know, travel? Well, let's talk about, you know, the different places that you've been to. And so we create all of that in the development phase. We roll into pre-production, which is the second step. Pre-production is all of the topics that we're going to cover in that one day. And we've gotten to the point where we can bang out like 80 to 100 pieces of content in one day, like easy, right? And this is everything from, you know, if July 4th is about to hit next month, so we'll do a July 4th video. Mm-hmm. So holiday videos, we're doing, you know, welcome to the firm videos. We don't just deal with attorneys. Like I have a haunted history company here in New Orleans that we do videos for.
That's cool.
Which one of their videos got 80,000 views in like 48 hours, which was really great, which tells me. And once again, like I always try to tell people, is that story is what people are interested in. Right. And so if we can infuse those stories into the marketing or into the content, it's going to hit. Right. So our New York family law attorney, we did a video with her about a guy who gave his kidney to his wife. She cheated on him. And then in the divorce, he asked for his kidney back. Didn't get it, but it was a fun story that like people are like, holy crap, that's interesting. Right. And it has to do with their business. Right. So we're talking about stories like that, you know, Q&A, we'll set up podcasts, things like that for, you know, for our clients and all of that together on a monthly basis will scale your business so damn fast. Right. And so, sorry, I backtracked. So step two is pre-production, going through all of that. Step three, production. This is where we take one day and we shoot everything. Mm-hmm. Post-production, we have our editors that I've got five editors on staff and we're banging out like 200 plus videos a month, right? And so we send it to them through Frame.io. They check it, they approve it. And then our social media managers distribute it, you know, on a phone. Unfortunately, none of these planning apps do reels right now, which sucks, but you know, so they have to be on a phone, but it takes them 10 minutes because we connected with Asana. So you can put the Google stuff in Asana and it's just copy paste, copy paste, copy paste.
Oh, know? That's cool. And yeah. So, we use Asana too. Asana's life.
Yeah. Yeah. So it, you know, we keep everything, the deadlines, you know, through Asana and we've got it super streamlined, you know, with our processes and procedures. And as a result, we can take on more clients. And it's just been really good. And, you know, we've been putting our guarantee on things where I'm like, look, in the next 6 months, I will triple your return on investment with me. Guaranteed.
That's cool. But you know what? I think you're like speaking and honestly, like I feel so seen right now is like we focus on our clients all the time and we never do stuff for ourselves. I literally have someone on our team who manages the social for True Story and we have a great email list that we'll occasionally do emails to. But honestly, like, do we treat it the way we treat our own clients? Absolutely not. And then we're over here scratching our head saying like, we want more clients and it's literally right in front of our faces.
Yeah. I had to have a conversation with my team several times where I'm like, Leduc Entertainment is the number one client. Like we are the priority, right? Like you got to pay yourself first. Have you read that book Profit First?
Yes. I talk about it all the time.
It's great. But, you know, same sort of principle, especially for marketing firms, is that you've got to market yourself first, right? Because those are the things that you're going to be selling anyway, right? Like if you're selling marketing and if you're selling different marketing avenues and campaigns, then you better know that it works, right? Yeah. And what better person to try it on or company than yourself?
Yeah.
So,
interesting. So somebody out there maybe owns an agency. And I mean, I think we all know the importance of putting out content, but like, where to even begin? How do you, you know, when you bring on, you know, I know you're an expert and you're getting into the realm of helping agencies do what you've done. So if an agency comes to you, like, where do you start?
Well, I'm going to look at their social media first. Number one, like, where are you guys putting the content? You know, I'm going to look at the content, right? I'm going to look at the views. I'm going to look at what you guys are talking about. What is the, you know, who's your target market? Who are you guys trying to talk to? You know, I'm going to look at your email list and whether or not you're working with a CRM and if that is working. I'm going to check and see if you have landing pages. I'm going to look at your follow-up strategy, right? Like when somebody comes in, that's great. But how many times are you talking to the people? They say that it takes 17 touches to turn a prospect into a client. Oh, and I've talked to so many marketing people that say that they stop after 4 because they feel like they're bothering them. Mm-hmm. They stop reaching out after 4 touches. And I'm like, guys, do you know why it takes 17 touches? It's because some of these people are not necessarily saying no to what you're offering. They just don't have the time.
Yeah.
Right. Like they might have that time, or maybe they've overspent for the quarter. Right. And so they're waiting for the next quarter to stop. And if you do not continue to remind them, then you're missing out on exponential revenue gains. You know?
Yeah. And I think it's like a trust thing too. And I can't tell you how many people have come to me and said, I'm so nervous about hiring you. You seem great. I'm so nervous about hiring you and your team because I've been burned so bad by other marketing and PR agencies. And it makes me really sad because it's like, we're supposed to be in the business of like truth telling. I mean, the name of my company is True Story. We're supposed to be in the business of integrity and telling people's truth, you know, but they've just been burned by so many that it's like, maybe they need 17 times to like really hear from you. And, you know, the whole know, like, and trust thing, people use that all the time. Like that trust step is a really hard one.
So I was talking to my sales team this morning. We were having a sales call and I just hired a new salesperson and I'm bringing her through the entire process. And it occurred to me that, like, you know, and I've heard it before, but it was just like, your marketing is the pre-sales tool, right? Mm-hmm. Like your marketing should be the thing that's creating the trust and credibility so that when you get your at bat with that prospect, the question of whether or not you are a credible person and trustworthy is no longer part of it. Like you want to make sure that they understand that you are the person to go to.
Yeah.
So that when you get to the sales call, it's about figuring out what their pain points are and not necessarily about trying to convince them that you're good at what you do. Right? Your pre-selling should do that, which is why volume of content marketing works so well. Is that if they see you every day on social media and they're seeing you, you know, on paid social and they're seeing you in their inbox with email marketing and they're seeing you on your touches, then when they get to the table, they already know you. They've seen your face. They know what you do. They know the case studies. They know the reviews, you know, so let's just take the order.
So freaking true. And honestly, like I tell my team all the time, we push a lot for me to speak at events. I love speaking. It's fun. It's easy. It's just something that comes naturally to me. But I push for it a lot. It's like our number one way of getting new clients because they see me in real life. They hear me. I'm not trying to sell them something. I'm just educating them. And I'm not kidding. By the end of it, I have people, you know, everybody like comes up at the end to like talk to you or whatever. People lined up. I get clients upon clients every time I speak in person. But I think that's the reason why. Like I'm a real human to them. And I just built their trust by not even trying to sell them on stuff. Just sharing knowledge.
100%. I just read a book. It's called Who Not How. Have you read it?
Get out of my head. Seriously. Like I just finished this book, probably 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So the book after that is Buy Back Your Time, which, I totally recommend. And then 10X is better than 2X.
Okay. Wait, I need to write all this down.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely an avid reader. It's crazy because like if you can just implement one thing, the biggest takeaway from each book, and I know people are like, why are you reading so many books? How can you absorb all of that information? And I'm like, I'm not trying to necessarily absorb all of the information because it goes back to 17. People are only going to remember 17% of a conversation, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to remember that one thing that really sticks with them that they're like, I can implement that. You know, and if you can implement one thing from every one of these books, which I have, you know, that's like a thing. Like if I finish a book and I'm like, okay, what is the one thing that I can implement to make sure that reading this book was, you know, worth my time? And so I do. And then I implement these strategies and then we talk about it with the team. And Who Not How is the perfect example of like, okay, look, as far as marketing is concerned, can you do social media marketing? Of course. It's not rocket science. You don't have to go to school for 8 years to figure out how to do this. However, you don't have the time. You're a family law attorney, you're a plastic surgeon, you're whoever, right? Like, you just want it done for you. We can do that. We've done it here, right? Who, not how? Like, great, you're going to save money by doing it yourself, but are you really going to save money? Are you really going to save time? You know, you really got to think about, okay, what is your hour worth? Like, how much are you worth an hour? You know, and if you're sitting there trying to figure out how to do social media and how to batch create the content and how to edit and how to distribute properly and blah, 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 you're like, you're not going to get it done. So like, hire someone that's competent, hire someone that has done, has the case studies to prove it, you know? And I'm really big on that story, especially in the selling process, is it works well, right? Like if I'm telling people, hey, 700K to like 10 million in 3 years, that's a number they're going to remember, right? Like these are stories. People are like, wait, what's happening? What's going on?
Yeah. You know. And when I look for somebody to like, I'm a huge believer in business coaches or like mentors, things of, and paid, like actually paying for it. Cause like you said, like when you put money on the line, you freaking show up. I'm a huge believer in that. But one thing I see all the time now on like, especially Instagram, are these coaches that I'm like, but have you built, I need somebody, if I'm going to hire them to coach me on my agency, they need to have built an agency before or something, a service based business, similar in nature. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because like you said, like if I'm going to take advice from somebody, I need to know you have done it and you can do it or you are doing it, you know?
Man. So, you know, these online course creators and like people are, the mentality behind this whole coaching phenomenon is that, oh, you just have to be one step ahead of your students and then you can coach them. And I'm like, what kind of BS is that? Like, what are you talking about? Like one step ahead, you better be 20 steps ahead. Yeah. You better know like all of the pitfalls that they're potentially going to run into before they even be up 2, 3, 4 miles, not 20 feet. You know what I mean? Like, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? And then these people are supposed to trust you to like get them to where they want to be when you're like just one step ahead. I'm like, dude, this is so much BS, you know? And like, I get the imposter syndrome thing, but it's just at a certain point, like, yes, how, the credentials have to be there, right? Like a doctor goes and becomes a resident before they become a doctor for a reason. You know what I mean? And these doctors aren't one step ahead of their residents, you know?
Yeah.
Like how can you really teach somebody in that fashion? It's just, it's crazy.
A life coach. These life coaches are like 21 years old. And I'm like, a life coach at 21, your life is just beginning. Your adult life is literally just beginning. I don't even know if I consider that adult life, honestly, you know, like, so if somebody out there is listening and they own an agency and they're trying to, get started on their content strategy, do you have any kind of like words of advice, starting points for them? I mean, obviously they know if they own an agency, they know how to do the distribution and posting and all that good stuff. But I think sometimes they can't get out of their head of what type of content they need to put out for themselves. Like, do you have any thoughts on like a starting point for them?
Sure. This is what I would say. A lot of just business owners in general, I'm not just picking on marketing agencies or marketing professionals, don't necessarily want to invest, right? Mm-hmm. And don't understand that if you invest in your own marketing, you're going to get people coming through the door in droves. Mm-hmm. And the thing is like your confidence and the way you speak in sales meetings will change as a result when you yourself are experiencing growth as a result of using your own marketing. Yeah. Right? Like there's a different intonation. There's a different way you speak when you've done it yourself and when you've walked the walk and you've invested your own money into your own company to do that. Right. Yeah. So that's first and foremost. Second is the imposter syndrome. right? Like it's huge. It's huge. Like people don't like to see themselves, or they're like, who am I to be talking and blah, 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 blah. It's part of the journey, right? It's part of like learning how to ride a bike. You can't learn how to ride a bike by buying the best bike, by wearing the best clothes, by getting the best helmet. You have to ride the bike, right?
Yeah.
And so you have to market, you have to do it. You have to walk the walk. And through doing, you will see what's working and what's not. Now, I'm not trying to promote myself. Obviously, if call me and we can have a conversation, you know, about what it is that you could be doing differently, right? But it doesn't have to be me. Find some other people out there that are doing it and doing it well and are successful, right? And then they can guide you. Like, who not how, it's been such a godsend to me, because I'm like, I don't need to figure this out. I don't. I just need to figure out the who. I just need to figure out who can get me there. You know, and we're in business. Let me tell you something. I had a 3 weeks ago, I had a meeting, or I had a podcast guest on my show who was another marketing professional, SEO strategist, right? Digital marketing, doesn't do what we do. And what he told me was that he creates joint ventures with several of his clients. So he has ownership in like seven different companies, from construction to plumbing to all of that. And he tells them, he's like, look, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I will put in $10,000, $15,000 a month in marketing spend into your company. You're going to give me a part ownership and we're going to grow this thing together. And it's like, well, shit. Okay. So you're that confident that you're going to be able to grow my business. I'm in either way. Yeah. Like either I'm going to give you part ownership or I'm just going to pay you to do this. And so that's what I'm on that kick now. Is it Brian, man, you just opened up a whole nother can of worms. Cause I was like, you know, in this step, I'm like, man, what do I invest in? Do I want to invest in like real estate? Do I want to, and I don't like real estate. Like I don't like, I'm not passionate about it. I could care less, but business, like I love business. I love growing businesses. I love entrepreneurship. I love like processes and procedures and marketing, the whole nine. And I know, like, because we've done it for ourselves, that like, it's all predictable, right? And this is from my mentor. Applebee's knows how much food they need to order on a Friday night to not run out of food, right? To not lose money on food going bad and have enough so that they can handle the customers that come through. It's all predictable. If you do all of these things, you'll make it happen. And so his ratios are 37% goes to employees, 25% goes to marketing, 10% operations, and then the rest goes into your pocket. That's your profit. Problem is, most entrepreneurs want to pocket 50, 60% and not put enough into marketing. And therefore, they get so overwhelmed with their big homes, with their big cars, with their big, you know, big purchases, that they no longer, they're so inundated with debt that they can't even put money into marketing because they're overspending. Yeah. Right?
It's like a chicken pocketing, egg kind of thing, you know, like they wanted the big fancy stuff, but now they can't afford it because they're not putting the money into the marketing to it. It's almost like setting yourself up. Yeah, exactly.
And that's the engine. That's the engine that I've been following for the last 3 years. If I'm making, you know, if I'm making 100K a month, then 25,000 the next month is going into marketing. You know, if I'm making $150,000, a month, then 25% is going into marketing the next month. And if I make less, then I'm still putting in 25%, and I'm keeping that ratio of employees at 37. And that really starts to, you really have to start tightening up your processes and procedures and making sure that you got your KPIs in place, making sure that people understand what it is that they're supposed to be doing, so they're not wasting time, and that you're really creating scorecards. There's a good book called Traction with EOS Systems. I don't know if you've read it.
Haven't read it, but I've heard of it.
Yeah. And then Rocket Fuel is another great book talking about like the visionary and the implementer relationship. And, you know, if you're in business, you really need to figure out who you are. Are you the implementer or are you the visionary? And mm-hmm. you really need to have that. And I'll tell you one of my biggest expenses that I made about 2 years ago was paying my COO to come in. And he was an implementer and I'm a visionary, and he changed my business because now I have somebody that's taking my ideas and making them work. Right.
Yeah.
And there's, oh my God, there's just tons of books, but there's another book that's really great called, The Six Types of Working Genius.
Six Types.
And this book, amazing. It's, the acronym is called WIDGET, right? Wonder, invention, discernment, galvanizing, enablement, and tenacity. And everybody has two strengths and sort of two weaknesses, right? And what happens is that sometimes you're putting people in charge of things that they're not necessarily good at or that they're passionate about, right? And so if you're following this widget and there's an assessment, if you go to the six types of working genius, you can take an assessment and you can have your team take the assessment too. But widget is wonder. And this is all about people that are curious about the world, how things work, right? They're always questioning things. Then you have invention. These are your idea people that have 30 ideas every second, right? That's me. I'm invention. Then you have discernment, and these are people that are, and this is a really interesting quality, is because people with discernment can seem sometimes pessimistic or like that they're downing your idea, but they're not. And I had to apologize to my project manager and to my wife because they're high on discernment. And I always thought that they were shitting on my ideas. I'm like, why are you, every time I have an idea, you guys are just like crapping on it. And it's not that. It was that they're always questioning and they can like trust their gut as to what's a good idea and what's not. And they're going to challenge you on it. They're going to challenge you to like justify whether or not that's a good idea. Right.
That's totally me. 100%. I immediately, my brain goes into like, how is this going to work? I love the idea. How is this going to work? You know, how are we going to actually do this?
And that's amazing. And my COO has that as well, which is why it's, and I did not know that until we took the assessment, which is what makes so much more sense, that discernment is really good. And then galvanizing is a person that motivates everybody, that rallies the troops. I'm invention and galvanizing are my top two. So like getting everybody moving and motivated and let's go guys, like all day for me, right? Enablement are the people that are like Johnny on the spot, good support. They don't necessarily need a spotlight to just fit in where I can get in, right? And then tenacity are the people that need to see a project through. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I don't really care to see it through. Like I could come up with an idea and then just let it go. Like I have tons of them. I have thousands of ideas that just were thought of and it just never got done.
Off into the sunset. So interesting to me is like what you said about implementation and visionary. I think where a lot of agencies and businesses in general struggle, and I'm speaking to myself here, I was the implementer for so long. Mm-hmm. I implemented when I first started, it was just me, right? So I implemented for so long that when I finally got into the business or got to the length where I could hire people, I started learning to let go of things and delegating. We're a team of seven now. So I've done a pretty good job of delegating. And I'm finally like starting to be able to move into the visionary side. And it's almost hard to like, it's like a recovering, you know, addict of some sort to like not get sucked back down into that implementation. I finally just hired somebody like really amazing at implementation and like what you said about tenacious, like she can see a project all the way through. That's awesome. But it's almost like I'm having this inner battle of like trying to let go of my former implementation. Could I spend my whole career implementing? Sure, I could, but I know that's not going to get us where we need to go. Also, I'm not the queen bee implementer. Do I know a lot? Of course. But like, I'm not the queen bee implementer. So do you think that people by nature or either are they one or the other? Or do you feel like people can cross over?
I think people can cross over. It And when you read that book, The Six Types of Working Genius, you'll see that everybody is capable of doing all of these jobs. It is whether or not how much energy that is sucking out of you to do it. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, can I come up with systems and processes and procedures? Yes. The amount of brain energy it takes me to do it drains me. And then I'm now good for like the next day. Like, I can do it. It's just, oh my God, so draining. So those are the things that, you know, and it goes back to that book, you know, Who Not How. It's like, okay, if this brings me joy, if this is something that I'm working in my genius at, then I need to find people that can do the other things. And look, somebody might be a good implementer and not necessarily a good visionary. And that's okay too, right? Like my friend and mentor, Lewis, he's the COO of Bader Scott Law Firm. Like he is the operations and like idea and implementer to Seth Bader's visionary, right? Like Seth Bader's a visionary, has ideas all day, you know, and then Lewis has visionary qualities, but he's much more of an implementer and integrator and has that brain, you know? So can he do both? Yes. But he also has found that when he stays doing what he's good at, he's a lot more effective, right? Mm-hmm. And he can scale faster. So, you know, it's just having those hard conversations going, all right, these are my limitations. These are my superpowers. Let me stay doing what I'm really good at. You know, and then let's find the supporting cast that can, you know, that can support me.
Yeah. Just because something, I guess, is necessarily your superpower doesn't mean like that's what you should give your energy to. Right. But I do think that one thing that helps me so much in my leadership of my team and the discernment is that I have been an implementer. So before I get them to do anything, I've done everything they've done. So when they have a question, when they have a struggle, like I feel that pain because I've been there. You know what I mean? So like, I don't know. I think maybe my former implementer is that prepared me to get me where I am now. So I can finally be the visionary and pass that implementation off and still, you know, somewhat support them because I have that discernment of like, okay, if I commit my team to this, how are they actually going to do that? How are we going to build a system? And I think systems, you know, are one of the most challenging things for agencies. Just my total two cents. I'm sure you see this all the time, but like building a system when every single client needs something different has been one of our biggest challenges in scaling is, I know my smart business brain, I read all these books too, and I listen to podcasts all the time. I know that in order to scale any business, you have to create repeatable systems, right? But when you're in the business of marketing and PR, like how do you create a repeatable system when every business needs something a little different? You know, I always rag on agencies that sell packages of like, package A is this, package B is this. And I'm like, no, like if people knew what they needed, they'd probably be doing it. The whole thing is they come to an agency because they like don't really know what is going to move the needle.
This is what I will say to that. When we created your business as a movie, right? And we do have packages because I don't believe you can scale if at every turn you have to think about what it is that they need, right? Mm-hmm. So what you can do is always have upsell opportunities, right? But what are we trying to accomplish? We're trying to accomplish ROI. Mm-hmm. If you know what you need from them to accomplish an ROI, then those become your packages and that becomes your system. And that's what you can write a book on, right? Mm-hmm. That's what becomes your marketing sort of system, right? And if at every sales point you have to improvise and you have to change things, then what we're saying is that, well, what worked for so-and-so is not going to work for you. But it goes back to me letting you know that it's all predictable, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you do this, you're going to get this. If you do this long enough, you're going to get this, right? Mm-hmm. So I would urge, you know, all of the marketing professionals out there too, to figure out a system to get an ROI that stays the same so that you can scale it. And you can always upsell later, right? With your customer service calls, especially if you guys are on a retainer basis, which if marketing professionals out there, if you're not on a retainer based model, you need to get on that quick. Cause like, that's the only way to scale the business.
For sure. But
try to figure out, you know, try to figure out what that package looks like so that it is sort of the same for everybody, you know, and then that way your salespeople know exactly how to create the contracts, how to send it out, how to do this, boom, boom. And it's just like that, 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 that. Like Arch, when we change our pricing, it changes every six months because we're either adding something to the package that we think is important. I'll give you an example. Before, we were only doing content marketing for social media. Right. Mm-hmm. And all of it, all of the content that we were creating in that shoot date was just for social media. Well, I had the epiphany the other day because I was like, 80% of my clients have come from my podcast. 80%. Right. Wow. And I've seen a huge increase in business as a result of my podcast. That was one of the things that I did that really increased things. I met that guy, Brian. Right. Mm-hmm. We had a conversation 3 weeks ago. He put a plastic surgeon in my lap for $10,000 a month, right? Wow. Now we're referral partners. So, you know what I mean? So I was like, huh, why am I not incorporating a podcast into the content marketing for my businesses, especially if I know how to do podcasts? So yeah. Now every single client that I have is on a podcast strategy. Every single one of them, like no question. I'm not asking them. This is what you're doing. Why? Because I know that we need to get here. You want return on investment quick, faster than social media marketing in general. Like, and social media marketing is amazing by itself, but like right. You want gas, you want gasoline. What we're going to do is we're going to invite all of your referral partners to your podcast. Now that's going to come out every Friday. Mm-hmm. Your show, right? And so now what's happening is, and we just started implementing this a month ago. Now all of these people are connecting, right? They're networking on the podcast and they're passing business to each other.
For sure.
Right? And it's like, well, holy shit, this is a duh, right? So now we had to, now we infused the podcast amount into the packages, and now we just, you know, increase everything, but now we have a reason for doing it. And here's another quick tip for marketing professionals. You have to have a low barrier of entry, some sort of low bar. And what we call ours is the Start Now package. And it's at $2,000 a month. Right? Or 2,500, I should say. And the first month is just us coming out and shooting. No editing, no distribution, no nothing. It's just them experiencing us, mm-hmm. right? For $2,000. Then the next month, we'll take that $2,000 and we'll edit 10 videos. And the next month, you know, and so by the third month, they've experienced it. They understand what's happening. And mm-hmm. then we bring the price up to, you know, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, you know, because now they understand what this whole thing is, yeah. right? Because if you're trying to get somebody from not knowing or not doing social media at all to like, hey, I want you to start posting, you know, 3 to 5 times a day.
Yeah.
That gap is not going to compute, right? Yeah. Like you got to build bridges along the way. So that's what we started doing. And like, we have exponentially grown as a result of having like that small barrier of entry. Because now we can get people in and they understand, and then you indoctrinate them into what it is that you're doing.
We do the same thing. So we have like where we build a strat plan for people. Most of the people come to us and they have somebody on their team that's like 21 or 22. I call her Mackenzie. So they hire Mackenzie, and then like, you know, I'm right though. When I say this, people immediately start laughing because they're like, I have a Mackenzie. They have Mackenzie, and Mackenzie's great. And she is very tech savvy. She's digital savvy, but what she's doing isn't working.
Right.
And so instead of us just jumping in and taking everything off Mackenzie's plate, we build a plan and teach Mackenzie how to do it for them.
Right.
And then that's really like their low barrier of entry. Over time, they begin to trust us. Right. Because they're like, okay, like, you know, they get to know us. They know that we know what we're doing. And then, you know, so I think a low barrier of entry there, everything on the internet right now says like, no, hold your line. Don't offer anything lower than $10,000 a month. you know, and I'm all about knowing your worth, but I'm also about like, you got to see the big picture of like, you bring them in at a low barrier, mm-hmm. they get to trust you. And then there's opportunity for more, you know, because there's always stuff that they'll come back and say, hey, Mackenzie, really, she doesn't have any PR contacts. Could you guys do a press push on this for us? So it ends up generating additional income, but it's like, you know, I think people are just impatient. They want to hit people with like, buy this 10K package or it's all or nothing kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, I feel you on that. Look, the book Buy Back Your Time, and I'm always referencing books, but Buy Back Your Time, it talks about, you know, whenever somebody's making a high ticket item or a high ticket purchase, you test drive a car, you walk through a home. Like there's always a testing sort of deal. And that's what he was saying for your employees that you're going to hire, give them tests. And I know I'm going around the elbow to get to my foot, but, part of that process is, you know, how can you give somebody a taste of you first before they make the entire purchase, you know, and whether that's your prospects that are, you're bringing in or whether it's staff that you're bringing in, you know, like you've got to figure out, okay, how can you give them some tools to see how they work before you hire them, you know? And then the same way, like how are they experiencing your business as an employee too, you know? Yep. So,
geez, I feel like we could go all day. This has been so freaking valuable. Armando, if people want to connect with you, learn more, maybe they own an agency or any type of business. I mean, obviously every business needs content marketing. And I think there's a lot of marketing people who listen to this podcast, but I also think there's a lot of business owners that listen to this because they're looking for guidance and maybe Mackenzie's not working out for them. So they're trying to bootstrap it. So if they want to learn more about you or connect with you, tell them where that they can find you.
LeDukeEntertainment.com. That's right up there. Look at that.
Easy peasy. There you go. Super.
And you can look me up, Armando LeDuke, on Google. If you're like, oh, what was that guy's name? Armando LeDuke. And reach out. I'm all over the place. I'm super easy to find. Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, the whole nine. And reach out. Would love to, you know, love to have a conversation. And it's free to talk. So,
yeah,
you know.
For sure. And tell them your podcast, Spaghetti on the Wall, right?
Spaghetti on the Wall. That's it. Yeah.
All right, cool. We're totally going to have to look it up. And I literally wrote down a bunch of these books that you said. I'm like, I feel like in the show notes, we need to have like book recommendations. And you should also totally get affiliate links to Audible for all these recommendations you're making.
Shouldn't I? I'm always recommending these books.
Right? You could probably have a whole other revenue stream of just like affiliate sales on books.
Yeah. Yeah. They're really good though. Yeah.
I love it. I'm going to, Whitney, I do an Audible, so I'm going to totally download these and listen to them. Armando, thank you so much for coming on the show today. This has been so awesome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning into today's episode. If you loved what you heard, please take a moment to screenshot this episode and share it to social media using hashtag TrueStoryPR or, better yet, write us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in. See you next time for another True Story.